Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we go through a shocking new study on the vaccine from the Wall Street Journal. We also talk about why is our government targeting James O'Keefe from the Southern District of New York, and so much more. You guys can email us directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Jaro from California. Thank you. I want to thank Aaron from New Mexico. Thank you. Melanie from Hawaii. Anthony from North Carolina. Deborah from Maryland. So thanks, Charlie, for everything you do from Maryland. Kristen from Alabama, charliekirk.com/support. Want to thank Krista from Indiana. Thank you for supporting us. Dennis for supporting us. Michael from New Jersey. Thank you for supporting us. Trish from Idaho. Thank you for supporting us. And Susie from California and Krista from Indiana. CharlieKirk.com/support is how we hire more staff, support our show, do two podcasts a day, and remain strong. CharlieKirk.com/support. We deeply appreciate your support in getting behind what we are doing. If you want to come to America Fest in Phoenix, Arizona, December 18, 19, 20, 21, we have Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Kayleigh McEnany, Donald Trump Jr., and more. Go to tpusa.com/AMFEST. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST. tpusa.com/AMFEST to get your tickets today. It's going to be amazing. Come to Phoenix, Arizona. Also, get involved with Turning Point USA. Start a high school chapter. Start a college chapter today. At tpusa.com, just go and get there to get involved. Join, start a high school or college chapter today, everybody. It's phenomenal. It's really important, and I really encourage it. Okay, James O'Keefe's apartment gets raided. New study out of the Wall Street Journal, and a guy that's pushing back within the National Institute of Health against mandatory vaccines. Buckle up. Here we go. Go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. All right, over the weekend, something really cool happened, everybody. At Turning Point USA, our amazing productions team won an Emmy. That's right, you heard that right, for our original production, A Long Walk in Socialism, Regional Emmy Award, Cultural Topical Documentary, Turning Point USA Productions. I never thought I'd actually have an Emmy in my hands. And you know what? They deserve a lot of credit. They do some great work, and they do a great job. And I'm so proud of our team at Turning Point USA. They work so hard, and I could tell you that they really are the best production team in the entire movement. I want to play a short clip from this. I want to say congratulations. They deserve all the credit. And let's play cut 23. Just a short clip from the now Emmy Award-winning documentary, It's Unbelievable, Long Walk in Socialism. Play tape.
In these United States of America, we American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians. Want to see an example of failed socialism? Go to an Indian reservation.
It is one of the most powerful documentaries about domestic socialism, and I want to just congratulate Joe Stone, Nathan Latta, Josh Dillard, Robert Baum, and also Marcus Fatinas, who is really kind of at the helm in the midst of all of that. So congratulations, guys, and now I get to have an Emmy in my hands that I did not earn, but I am proud of you guys. Okay, let's get into some other news of the day here. So I was wondering if someone could help with this. A couple years ago, I was flying from New York to Los Angeles. I remember exactly what seat I was in. It was seat 3A. Now, I'm a journal guy. I'm always taking notes. I have hundreds of journals, some would call them diaries, around my house. I love writing things down. I love taking notes. But on this particular flight from New York to Los Angeles, I was really kind of taking notes and doing things. And I then fell asleep, got distracted, landed, got off the plane. And an hour or two later, I realized that I had forgot my journal on the plane. I ran back and it wasn't in the lost and found. It wasn't where people said it was. And I have a high suspicion that my diary and my journal was stolen. So to the FBI, could you guys help me find my diary? Is that a federal crime now? Are you guys now in like the diary locating business? Now, some of you might be saying, Charlie, what on earth are you talking about? Well, over this last weekend, we have now learned that there's an expanded scope of federal authority where the Southern District of New York, and I want to be very clear, there are some phenomenal people that are part of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, in the boots, not in the suits. But the Southern District of New York is its own kind of, it's its own country of enforcement, SDNY. That's the one that went after Steve Bannon, Dinesh D'Souza. It's one that went after every single one of the conservative allies. Well, breaking last Friday night, is that fair to say Friday and Saturday? Because we didn't really see it. I don't know if we covered it last week. Project Veritas, run by the wonderful James O'Keefe, had their doors kicked in for the federal agents that were going after the alleged missing Ashley Biden diary. How is that a federal concern exactly? And so there's a lot surrounding that story. There's a lot within the contents of the diary, allegedly. We were told the diary wasn't real. I didn't really cover this story. Honestly, I forgot about this. There's just been so much crime and corruption around the Biden regime, and the other side just isn't covering it at all. But let's play cut 20. Fox report on how the FBI investigation of Project Veritas and the diary apparently belongs to Joe Biden's son or Ashley Biden. We're not exactly sure. Play cut 20.
On Friday, O'Keefe acknowledged Project Veritas is under investigation by the Justice Department over the apparent theft of a diary reportedly belonging to Ashley Biden, President Biden's daughter. Just days before the 2020 presidential election, pages from the diary were published by a right-wing website, which reportedly has ties to O'Keefe. The site claims it received the diary from Project Veritas. O'Keefe says a copy of the diary was leaked to Project Veritas by a whistleblower, but they chose not to publish it because they could not verify its authenticity.
So my first question is this. First of all, James O'Keefe went to federal law enforcement and tried to give the diary back. We don't know how this diary was obtained. But let's say the diary was stolen. How many different pieces of information have we seen illegally published where the FBI doesn't get involved? How about number one, the illegally leaked tax returns for the billionaires that ProPublica published 3 or 4 months ago? How about the Pentagon Papers years ago? Powerlineblog.com has a phenomenal overview. Jonathan Turley says this: journalist organizations are routinely given material removed from businesses, agencies, or private owners without permission by confidential sources. Is this a federal crime subject to FBI raids? What happened to the new media policies of the Biden regime going after Tucker Carlson with the controversy? There are several unanswered questions regarding with this, which is, what was the context for the diary loss? Did Ashley Biden leave it somewhere and someone picked it up, or was it stolen? What is the alleged federal crime? And I have to say, I have been saying that over and over again in all of our group chats. What is the federal crime here? Why is it that there was an investigation now by the FBI where they go and search James O'Keefe's apartment, everybody? This sure looks like targeting enemy journalists, doesn't it? Or opposing journalists to the regime. And let's just, how about the Panama Papers? How reporters pulled off the Panama Papers, the biggest leak in whistleblower history. 2.6 terabyte Panama Papers, maybe the first leak of their scale, but they won't be the last, a couple weeks ago. How about in the New York Times in September 2020 that selectively reported that Donald Trump paid just $750 in federal income taxes in 2016? Although the Associated Press did not report the fact, the Times apparently obtained illegally leaked records. That would be a felony, according to 26 U.S. Code 7213. Makes it illegal to disclose unauthorized information, including tax returns. Did the FBI go and kick in the New York Times door because they had illegal tax returns from Trump? Of course not. And even worse than that, James O'Keefe tried to give the diary back. All evidence shows that James O'Keefe and Project Veritas knew that if they had stolen goods, they're not allowed to profit off of those. Now, you might say, Charlie, how do you know that? Well, this is because of all of my many years of watching Pawn Stars. Because what's the one question that that Rick Harrison would always ask? Where'd you get this from? I got to always ask, is this stolen? You're not allowed to buy or purchase or accept stolen goods unless if you're a journalist on the left, it's actually encouraged. If you're a journalist on the left, it's actually incentivized and, dare I say, subsidized and encouraged to go steal other people's stuff and then publish it for political benefit. There are dozens of examples of this, and yet we see over the weekend, the Southern District of New York, using the FBI, targets opposition journalists such as James O'Keefe. Could you imagine if Donald Trump did this? Could you imagine if Donald Trump asked Bill Barr to use the FBI to go after the New York Times and the New York Times office was raided by FBI agents? The Pentagon Papers, in addition to the Panama Papers, a former military analyst named David Eisenberg helped sour the nation on Vietnam and sow distrust by turning over to the New York Times a top-secret 7,000-page Pentagon history of the events leading up to the conflict. It led to dramatic confrontation between the press and the White House, which wanted to muzzle the story. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court, which ruled in favor of publishing the papers. As I said off the top of my head, what about the Pentagon Papers, the Panama Papers, Trump's tax returns? Journalists get illegally obtained information all the time. Why is it any different for James O'Keefe? The answer is because he's super effective. Because James O'Keefe has been hitting grand slams for the last year and a half, and they're trying to muzzle him. This is the political targeting of people the regime does not like. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says, relieffactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to relieffactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at relieffactor.com. So James O'Keefe has been very effective. The New York Post has a great story on this. They say, this sure looks like Biden's Department of Justice is persecuting an opposition journalist. James O'Keefe is the most effective journalist that we have on the right, whether it be VAERS database information, whether it be exposing critical race theory in our schools, or people that are whistleblowing. James O'Keefe has been a thorn in the side of the regime for quite some time. FBI and Manhattan federal prosecutors are investigating the case of Ashley Biden's diary. The president's daughters said it was stolen in a burglary last year. An obscure right-wing website found up publishing it, what it said the pages are from about 10 days before the election. Now, I'm not going to get into the alleged contents of the diary, but there's some pretty creepy stuff in this diary, let me just say. Some really weird stuff, according to all public reports. And what's interesting, again, which no one has been able to explain at all, is what federal crime in the U.S. Code is worthy of FBI agents going after this. So just so you understand the priorities of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. By the way, are we watching for that press conference with Merrick Garland right now? As soon as you hear the DOJ come out and then they say they're going to do a press conference on a significant political matter, say, hold on a second, what's going on here? Not so fast, my friends. That's something that should worry a lot of people. not the overreach of government. But this is a pattern of tyrants and autocrats, which is to silence political dissidents. It's nothing new. It's the habit of the tyrant to want to suffocate opposing ideas, especially journalists. And James O'Keefe is the most effective among them. James O'Keefe went after Governor Murphy and exposed his regime for what he was doing in New Jersey, and I think largely tightened the New Jersey governor's race. James O'Keefe has been relentless, and he has been effective. And because of that, he's at the top list of the Federal Bureau of Investigation executing a search warrant against them. Do we have sound of James O'Keefe? He did a video about this, which really irritated them, obviously, irritated the Southern District of New York. And I want to make sure that our focus is clear. The Southern District of New York is on their own island. Most districts of the FBI would not act this way. Here's the way the FBI should act with James O'Keefe. Now, maybe they did. And if they did do this and they still did a search warrant, then there's more to the story that we're not hearing. But the way you do it is you reach out to James O'Keefe or his attorneys and say, hey, we're looking for this diary. By the way, why they're looking for the diary, no one has been able to explain. Let's pretend that it's a nuclear reactor, okay? You go and say, do you guys have this? If you do, here's a subpoena. You don't go raid the home as if he's some sort of narco drug criminal. Remember, they did this to Rudy Giuliani months ago, too. So they raid Rudy Giuliani's apartment. They raid James O'Keefe's home. They're basically sending a message. You as a conservative better not live in the Southern District of New York. I could tell you that much. And what's amazing is that that is the very office previously run by Mayor Giuliani that is now being run as a pseudo-entrenched government criminal enterprise. Criminalizing opposing dissident journalists is something that we're told the third world does. In fact, what's amazing is that remember when the legacy media over the summer went after Tucker Carlson for going to Hungary? Why is he going to Hungary? Orban attacks opposition journalists. Yeah, like that doesn't happen here. Remember Tucker Carlson was spied on by federal agencies? People forget that story. So Tucker Carlson is spied on and James O'Keefe's door is kicked in looking for a diary that he tried to hand over to law enforcement himself. It says here in the New York Post, you don't have to be a fan of James O'Keefe's style of journalism to be worried about how the government is reacting to it. O'Keefe says someone shopped the diary to his Project Veritas, claiming Biden had left it somewhere. His outfit did not use it, partly because it couldn't verify it. He says he informed law enforcement of the whole thing. There are some ties to show that who eventually published it, James O'Keefe has some ties to, so maybe he leaked it to them. But what's in this diary that the Biden regime is now so concerned about finding? And that's the real question, isn't it? This is the Barbara Streisand effect on an exponent. That, hold on a second. What is it that you don't want me to see in this diary? Now, we're not into the unverified scandalous type stuff on this show, but I encourage all of you to go do your own research and go find out what is allegedly in this diary. Some pretty dark stuff. Not to mention the Hunter Biden laptop. I'm going to say something. The Biden family is a very dark family. They got some serious problems. And if that was the Trump family, it would be front page news. The FBI wouldn't be involved. They would be arresting the people involved in the diary contents. Internet privacy is extremely important. New news out shows that Google has been colluding with the federal government to hand over your data if you might have searched something wrong into the search bar. So what are you doing to protect your search history? Well, this is why you need ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. It's in fact even worse than that. It's inviting someone into the bathroom, which is really weird and creepy. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. ISPs can sell this data and information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity cannot be seen by anyone. It's as easy as closing the bathroom door and fire up the app and click one button. I use it on all my devices. Every device, I have those beautiful three letters, VPN with a rectangle around it. It's rated number one by CNET and TechRadar. Here's the cool thing. It works on phones, laptops, and even routers. so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Here's the thing. I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. ExpressVPN for me has been a game changer to be able to know that the tech companies or the government, they have to go through a whole nother barrier to try to spy on us. And we see with the new announcements out of DC, if you've spoke at a school board meeting lately, you better get a VPN. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Charlie today. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. It's extremely important to anonymize your online activity. expressvpn.com/Charlie. Unfortunately, a lot of the warnings we have been issuing around the vaccine is coming true. And finally, the legacy media is picking up on it and they are talking about it. And finally, you are seeing the activists in the press just move on and not want to ever ask about it. But let me just start with this question. And we don't know the answer to this. So if anyone knows where this human being is, please email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Where is Gavin Newsom? This is one of the most bizarre stories that I have seen in the last couple years. Gavin Newsom survives his recall, then surprisingly cancels his visit to the climate summit, and he has not been seen for the last 10 days. Is that right, Connor? 10 days, 11 days? And then his wife suspiciously comes out and defends him and then deletes the tweet. And so it might be just Gavin Newsom having family problems with his, I think you all know the type of behavior. Let's say Gavin Newsom's got a Jack Kennedy complex. Let's just put it that way. If I was Gavin Newsom's wife, I wouldn't put up with that. I hope she leaves him in a tear and calls him what he is. That's all allegedly, though. It's not proven. But Gavin Newsom got the vaccine, the booster shot, and he hasn't been seen since. So we're not trying to connect the two, but it's just weird. It's bizarre. And the California Globe has even come out and said, where is Gavin Newsom? The California Globe has come out, and they literally wrote a piece last night. It's incredible. And this story is gaining traction of where is the governor of California? What is his possible excuse? You have this story here. Actually, I'm trying to find it. It's just so bluntly written, the one I sent last night from the California Globe. And it just basically asks the question of, so you're the governor of the state and no one knows. Oh, here it is right here. Yeah, I got it. California Globe says, Gavin Newsom is now on the side of milk cartons, everybody. Missing. Where is Gavin Newsom? 11 to 12 days, he has not been seen at all. He says he's dealing with family issues. Now, people are losing their jobs. Police officers and firefighters are losing their jobs because they did not want to take this vaccine, and they do not want to take this vaccine. We get thousands of emails from people about adverse events when it comes to the vaccine. But here is, and I'm going to keep on reiterating this. Connor, do we have a picture of this from inside that University of Alabama event? That was one of the most amazing things. So at University of Alabama, we had a Turning Point USA campus stop, and we had a question about the vaccine. A really, really nice, sweet kid that was pro-vaccine, but we handled it nicely, and we had a good conversation. I didn't want to go too hard against him. He had a good heart. And I asked the room, I said, how many of you have had friends or personally experienced someone that has had an adverse event to the vaccine? Nearly every single hand went up in the room, which defies every single number that you will see on television. Either every single person that attends our events is in some sort of mind-warped simulation control, or there's something else going on in our country that no one wants to talk about when it comes to this vaccine. Well, the Wall Street Journal agrees. So there's two stories I want to talk about from the Wall Street Journal. And by the way, Wall Street Journal has just been crushing it lately with their brave journalism with this stuff. First one, COVID-19 vaccines and myocarditis link probed by researchers. Researchers aren't sure why the messenger RNA vaccine, one from Pfizer Inc. and partner BioNTech SE, and the other one from Moderna, are likely causing the inflammatory heart conditions, myocarditis, and pericarditis in a small number of cases. Now, we don't know how many cases there are because a lot of it is self-reporting, but it's growing enough where it's the Wall Street Journal is taking notice. The article continues by saying that the antibodies against the spike protein may have unintended effect of acting against heart proteins. Everybody, the very same thing we were warning about in June, and it's not because of any profound research we've did. It's Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Brett Weinstein that came out and warned against this is now actually proving to be true. And no, I'm not holding my breath for apologies from the Washington Post, who smeared me as an anti-vaxxer over the summer because I dared to ask questions about this, who had this massive campaign that I'm stoking vaccine hesitancy because I dare ask questions about myocarditis and heart-related issues and adverse events on the VAERS website itself. It continues by saying, myocarditis appears to happen more amongst younger males after vaccination than in other age or sex groups, suggests a link to hormone testosterone, which is usually at higher levels in younger males, according to researchers. One of the things that struck me most powerfully by the movie, The Social Dilemma, which is on Netflix, which I encourage you to cancel your subscription, but it's a good little piece. The Social Dilemma with Tristan Harris, I think that was his name. One of the most powerful parts of that film is when they go through the people that have actually invented social media companies, and they talk about how those social media companies don't allow their children to use the products that they have developed. So the people that develop Pinterest or Instagram or Google, they don't allow their 8, 9, and 10-year-olds to use the very same technology that they develop because they know what it can do. That same rule should apply to the National Institute of Health and also to the CDC. So let's start with this clip. Cut 12, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, when pressed and asked, won't say how many CDC employees are vaccinated. Why? Play cut 12.
What percent of CDC employees are vaccinated?
We're actively encouraging vaccination in all of our employees and doing a lot of education and outreach in order to get our agency fully vaccinated.
And the percent?
I don't have that for you today.
I'm told that 75 to some north of 75% of CDC employees at headquarters are still working remotely. Is that correct?
We are following regulations through HHS and the federal government.
No, that's not my question. I apologize to be rude, but I'm asking a very straightforward question. I've been told that north of 75% of employees at CDC headquarters are working remotely. Is that correct?
Senator, I don't actually know the number off the top of my head.
Okay, when you look down the hallway, are there empty desks? Are over 50% of the desks empty?
Senator, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. What I will tell you is that we're working closely within HHS and the administration to follow the governmental rules.
I mean, these people are supposed to run our agencies. I mean, it's the most clear-cut question. How many people are working remotely? How many people are vaccinated? I don't know. We're working closely with the supposed regulations. They won't say how many CDC employees are vaccinated. The most important story that has come out with the vaccine the last couple days from the Wall Street Journal is the vaccine mandate debate makes it to the top federal research agency. Now, the way they wrote this story is a little bit confusing. It's a little bit backwards. So you have to start at the end of the story to really get the context. So let me introduce you to a guy by the name of Dr. Memoli, a 16-year NIH veteran who was selected this month as the 2021 NIH Director's Award, a top recognition from the head of the agency for his supervision of a national study into undiagnosed COVID-19 cases earlier in the pandemic. Dr. Memoli is the center of this Wall Street Journal piece, who is a star employee, according to the NIH, and he opposes mandatory COVID-19 vaccination with current available shots and has declined himself to be vaccinated. Whoa. So now you have someone within NIH at the top levels of the National Institute of Health who is an award-winning researcher by Fauci's own decree that doesn't want to get vaccinated. Why? What does he know? If this vaccine was the greatest thing ever, why is it that not every single NIH employee has decided or agreed to get vaccinated? The article continues by saying 12% of NIH employees are not yet vaccinated. What do those 12% know? Dr. Mamoli argues that with existing vaccines, blanket vaccination of people at low risk of severe illness could hamper the development of more robust immunity gained across population from infection. Dr. Mamoli says, quote, "I think the way we are using vaccines is wrong," he wrote to Dr. Fauci. Dr. Mamoli called mandatory vaccinations extraordinarily problematic. Hey, Republicans, you listening? Instead of doing infrastructure packages, why don't you do a hearing with this guy? He sounds really interesting. He's an NIH award-winning 16-year employee that is challenging Fauci from within, and he himself has declined to get vaccinated. He said, quote, that could hamper the development of a more robust immunity gained across the population. He said he is willing to risk his job and his license for the right not to receive a COVID-19 shot. What does Dr. Mamoli know? Well, let's play cut 37 of Dr. Malone talking about the spike protein and that there's no reason to vaccinate children. I encourage all of you out there that are listening to me, expand and liberate your horizons. There's a lot more going on with this story than the legacy activist corporate media will tell you. Play cut 37.
And I want you to spread, take away three key points. Okay, three key points. Get this in your brain, share it in social media, get it out to your peers. There is no reason to vaccinate children. They don't have a risk of disease. Number two, natural immunity is superior to vaccine-induced immunity, full stop. And don't vaccinate those that have natural immunity. Number three, don't interfere with physicians that are providing life-saving medications to their patients. Stop it.
The blackout, the suppression campaign against truth has been the greatest injustice of my lifetime. It really has. It has kept people in positions of fear. People have died unnecessarily from not knowing about ivermectin, knowing about hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, monoclonal antibodies, and aspirin. Dr. Mamoli from NIH is someone that I think deserves a bigger platform. What does he know? Why is he willing to lose his job to not get vaccinated? An award-winning NIH researcher. Are you worried about America's future? Times of trouble are full of reasons to despair. But those who built and have preserved our country did not despair. And if we are going to do our part, we need to draw on the books, the history, and the ideas that gave our forefathers and mothers strength and inspiration. Hillsdale College, the beacon of the North, the last college, was founded in 1844 to teach all of these things, and it teaches them still today. The great news is that we can study all these things, along with Hillsdale College professors, right in our homes. I take the Hillsdale online courses, and in fact, I'm going to go to Hillsdale right now, to charlieforhillsdale.com. I'm going to show you directly how I'm doing with my online courses. And I'm going to tell you what courses I have finished, and you guys can do it alongside me. Boom, finish Introduction to Western Philosophy. Boom, finish Western Heritage. Boom, finish Intro to the Constitution. Boom, finish Constitution 101. Finish Winston Churchill and Statesmanship. I am starting and working my way through a proper understanding of K-12 education and theory and practice. The Great American Story, A Land of Hope. That is a big lift, everybody. I encourage you to do it. Introduction to C.S. Lewis, Writings and Significance, The Presidency and the Constitution, The Genesis Story, Reading Biblical Narratives, and Civil Rights and American History. I'm working my way through all of them, but things that matter take work. And through Hillsdale's free online courses, we can study the history of our civilization, the wisdom of our ancient and Christian philosophers, the writings of Shakespeare and Mark Twain. We can reacquaint ourselves with our Constitution, and we can learn how the Constitution has been undermined, and more importantly, how it can be recovered. My friends, as we fight in the defense of family, faith, and freedom, let us draw on the best of the past with Hillsdale's guidance to save the greatest nation on earth. Begin learning today at charliefor.hillsdale.com. That's charliefor.hillsdale.com. Check it out today. Enroll for free. Just put your email, charliefor.hillsdale.com. So for the last couple of months, we have to have these safety-focused parents all about vaccinating their children and having them wear masks when they shower. What if I told you that in Harris County, Texas, it was far more dangerous to go to a rap concert this last weekend than getting COVID as a young person? That's a statistical fact. Remember, San Francisco is forcing the vaccine for kids 5 to 11, even though none of them died. Now, what parents allow their children to go to these sad excuses for public gatherings called concerts? I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand parenting in the modern era. But what happened this last weekend, you might not have heard, was a Travis Scott concert. Now, I don't know much about Travis Scott. I think he's married to one of the Kardashians. Is that right? Or was or is or they're all like polyamorous, right? Who knows? I can't keep up with that, nor do I attempt to. That's Alex Clark's job, right? Doesn't she have a whole show dedicated to that, like the Kardashian marriage tree? He's dating Kylie. Oh, yeah, right. What a great role model. And so this – I'm going to say this. I'm going to get blowback from the media, but it's true. What I saw based on all images, based on all video and footage, was nothing short of demonic this last weekend. I'm going to get blown up by the media for saying that. It's just true. You look at what you saw of this guy Travis Scott performing at what's called Astroworld. He performed for 37 minutes after the event was called a mass casualty event. And if you don't believe me, I want you to look at cut 17. He continues to sing, if you could call his form of music singing, while someone appears to have a seizure. Play cut 17. So what happened in Astroworld, we're still not sure. Either it's a mosh pit, someone was stabbing people with needles, right? We don't really know the essence of it. But crowd control, medical procedures, all these things were not followed. And one of the main takeaways should first be is, could you imagine if Donald Trump at one of his MAGA rallies kept on speaking when people started to get overwhelmed and started to get piled on? High schoolers and college students among the dead at the Astroworld Festival, which is a tragedy, obviously. But the first question should be, what parent allows their kid to go to a concert like this when your child's in high school? Eight people are now dead from different high schools and colleges in the local area. One came all the way from Ohio for this concert, which I just can't understand the draw or the attraction of that. It's like, yeah, let's go to a concert next to 100,000 people when everyone's doing drugs and you might die. Do we have an image of the actual concert itself that we can show? Now, you'll understand what I mean by why I say it's demonic. And there's already been lawsuits that have been filed. There's already been massive court actions. The Houston Chronicle says police officials said Live Nation allegedly agreed to end the show shortly after multiple people collapsed around 9:38 local time. City officials said the show officially ended at 10:10 local time. However, those in the audience said that Travis completed his set and finished around 10:15. It's unknown if the call to end the show was communicated to Travis and he chose to ignore it. Boy, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. In fact, there might be a criminal negligence component to this. Seriously. It'd be tough for a prosecutor to do that. But if Travis Scott was notified, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Remember that. Travis and festival organizers behind Astroworld received their first lawsuit seeking over $1 million in damages. That'll just be the beginning. And eight people died. Now, what's the essence of this story? What's the takeaway? How about instead of worrying about young people who are going to die from COVID, you take a more broader picture. It's like, huh, maybe there's other things we should be worried about that aren't just maybe damaging to their livelihood, but just their life, damage to their soul. I don't think anyone that goes to Astral World is going to be filled with the grace and the purpose to lead a better life. It's obviously, that doesn't mean they deserve to die. It's far from that. It's the opposite. They deserve life and they deserve something much more fulfilling. The activist media is going to have a tough one explaining this one away, as one of their poster childs for hedonism, Travis Scott, oversaw one of the worst mass casualty events at a concert since the Las Vegas shooting. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. See you in Phoenix, December 18, 19, 20, and 21. America Fest, tpusa.com/AMFEST. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.